So we have the privilege of having Nastasia Kutsia with us here this evening. So for those of you who don't know her, I'm going to introduce her a little bit. The little bit that I've had to do with Nastasia had to do with church planting last year, where she showed up at one of the last sessions and blew things out the water. I'm not trying to make your job difficult tonight, Nastasia. I'm just saying your love for God is infectious. It is encouraging. It is beautiful. And you are a gift to the body of Christ. You are a gift to this body, to the Shofar body as a whole. And we're so grateful to have you tonight. Your husband, Stefan, couldn't make it, but we say hello to him as well. I just want to say thank you for joining us. We honor you. We look forward to hearing from you. Yeah, there we go.
Thank you so much, Dion. Hello, everyone. I thought I'm going to know way more of you. I used to be in this congregation. I feel like I don't know a single one of you. I've seen you before. I'm Nastasia. I don't know if my family's up there. But I am part of Shofar family for the past 18 years. And I am in Somerset West currently, part of the Shofar family there. And I was here for 6 years, actually, and I just want to honor Ross, even though he's not here now, but Ross really has the ability to see a gift in someone, the gift that God has placed on their lives, and to call it out, and to mobilize it in the kingdom, and to see the kingdom come mightily through us by mobilizing all of us, and I just want to honor you, Ross. So let's just give Ross a hand and just honor him. He also... I actually met my husband at the info table here at Shofar Durbanville, and we've been married now for 6 years, and we have an amazing daughter, Lily. She's a year and a half now, and he's actually back home taking care of her. That's my intro. But the most amazing thing about me and what really defines me is that 18 years ago, Jesus saved my soul, and ever since then, I've just been passionately in love with him. And, you know, when we get born again, we get born of God. And we get the same DNA as Jesus. And Jesus' mission and purpose when he was on this earth was to seek and to save the lost. That's why he came. And so we have that same DNA to seek and to save the lost. Each of us, if you don't know what your purpose is, that's the main purpose, that's the main mission. Jesus came to reconcile people back to his Father, and that's what we get to do. We get to reconcile people back to our Father. Freely we've received Jesus, and now freely we get to give Jesus. Now, I am currently, in the past few years, living out the dream and the call that God's placed on my life, and I'm loving it. I am an evangelist. I go out and I preach Jesus, and I see people saved, and I'm currently working with an organization called CFAN, Christ for All Nations, founded by evangelist Reinhard Bonnke. I don't know who of you know CFAN, but they have seen to date over 85 million people receive salvation, and it's incredible what the Lord is doing right now all across the globe. In this week, we were a few teams going out into schools in South Africa in Cape Town, and we went to, I think, 9 schools this week. We preached the gospel to the primary schools and the high schools, and over 2,500 people received salvation. It's incredible. And we all get to be a part of this. And, I started a ministry about 3 years ago where we go out to a mall and we go as a group and we go 2x2 and we approach people with the power and the love of Jesus. We've seen, now really the reason why we do this is not so that we can go reach out to people for an hour in a mall, but to practice as believers, so that this can be part of our daily lifestyle, so that we know how to bring Jesus to the people around us, so we know how to share our testimony effectively, so we know how to let His Spirit touch and transform lives and know how to partner with Him. That's the reason we go out to practice as believers. And we've seen, that's really my heart, is to enable all of us to do this so that your family members who don't know Jesus, your work colleagues who don't know Jesus, so how many of your students? A lot of you. Okay, so your fellow students who don't know Jesus, you can effectively know how to witness Jesus to them. But anyway, so we've seen hundreds of people encounter Jesus in the mall. In tears, touched, healed, saved, and it's a privilege. And this has flowed into the lives of the people's everyday life, the people that come join. They've now started, you know, being activated, and they're praying for the people in their workplace, in their family, the people in the park when they go for a walk with their kids, and people are encountering Jesus. This is the life we were made to live. Now, I want to share testimony with you. I love testimonies. Do you like testimonies? So, it was last week, Tuesday. We went to the mall, and just as me and my partner went and started walking, I just felt, saw this guy, and I just felt this tug in my heart that I've come to know. You know that tug of the Holy Spirit. And go to that one, and started walking towards him, and I said, hey, my name's Nastasha, I don't know you, but when I was walking towards you, I just felt in my heart that Jesus notices you, and He loves you so much, and He's got a plan for your life. And I said, hey, what's your name? He said, Brad. In that, so that's all I have. I have a tug in my heart. I don't know what's going to happen. I respond, I go. Then in that moment, I'm standing in front of him, and I just feel and hear the word pressure. And I say to him, do you by any chance, are you experiencing like immense pressure in your life right now, like crippling pressure? And he's like, yes. And he's getting teary, and he says he's been going through a divorce for the past 5 months, and we start praying for him, and the presence of God just touches him. This is real life. So it touches us. But anyway, so presence of God comes and fills his heart with love and with peace. And it lifts those heavy burdens that he's experiencing and gives him hope. I don't know what happened, but those are the things that I was experiencing. And it was as if in that moment, like the whole mall disappeared and you could feel the presence of God emanating in that mall. Afterwards, our team, our other people that were walking past, they said you could see and feel the presence of God. Anyway, this guy continued to tell us that He, a few months ago, around the time of his wife and him splitting up, he lost his job. He used to be on drugs. He was clean for 5 years, but he went back into drugs, and this all happened at the same time. I don't know in what order, and he's kind of actually, oh, and he lost both his parents in the last 4 years, and the second one last year. So this guy was in a bad place, and the Holy Spirit tugged on my heart, like He tugs on all of our hearts. He can tug on anyone's heart. And we just, if we respond, we'll see a move. Anyway, so I share my testimony with him. I share the gospel with him. And he's crying, he's sweating, and he gives his life to Jesus. It was amazing. And I gave him a Bible, and he didn't have a phone. He's actually, like, for the last little while out on the street, he doesn't have a home. And anyway, so he doesn't have a cell phone, but he says, I want to go to church. So I'm like, well, I don't know what to do. Normally people, I contact them. And so I'm like, okay, where can I meet you on Sunday? So he gives me a spot, and I'm like, I'll pick you up 8:15. Don't be late. I'll take you to church. And we go pick him up. He comes to church, and he's there an hour early. Anyway, Wednesday night this week, he goes to Encounter One, and he's now at a shelter. He's receiving counseling. He's been off drugs for 2 weeks, and the Lord is touching him. And this is This is what we get to be a part of, not just strangers, but in our family, with the people around us. But we need to know how to respond to the Holy Spirit. Do you want to hear another testimony? Quick, okay. So, this is a few years ago. I think in 2019, I was jogging. It's just a cool testimony because of the after story. But I was jogging in our estate, and one Friday evening, and jogging, and this guy comes from the front with his hoodie and his long hair, and I just feel that tug in my heart again, and the word double pops in my head. Now, the Holy Spirit is speaking to us all the time, and when we realize He is, how many thoughts in our head is actually His, like, and we start responding, we'll see, like, how much is actually Him and how much He wants to do. But anyway, so I hear the word double, and I first jog past them, but then I'm like, no, respond. So I turn back and say, hey, what's your name? My name's Nastasha. He's Albert. He's 20 years old. Say the same thing. Jesus loves you. Just feel like He notices you. Just feel the word double for you. And he's like, no way, man. And he's like, in the last 2 weeks, I've just been kind of open to God, reaching out to whatever God, and da da da. And I'm like, wow, that's amazing. And I start sharing with him. I can't remember what. But he says, somewhere along the line, he says, but I don't know what God's purpose is for my life. Now, neither do I. And sometimes we just start teaching people and we think it's going to help them. We just need to be led by the Spirit. So I'm like, hey, if Jesus was standing in front of you right now, you could just ask Him what your purpose is and He would tell you. And Jesus lives inside of me, so let's just ask Him and He'll tell you. Now, that's a step of faith. We need to take risks as believers if we want to follow the Holy Spirit. And so anyway, we pray. I see a picture of a band, and I say to him, hey, are you maybe in the band? And he's like, yo, me and my friends, we just started a band. I'm like, and I saw in the picture, he's the singer. I'm like, are you the singer in the band? He's like, yes, he's the singer. And the conviction of God touches him because I don't know this about him. I don't know what happened. But in that moment, he responds and he says, what must I do to live out the plans of God in my life? And again, I don't know the answer, but I'm focused on the Spirit. And the Spirit speaks through me and He says, well, unless Jesus Himself comes to live inside of you and live out the plans that God has for you, you won't be able to live out the plans of God. And the only way Jesus can come in is if you ask Him, forgive all my sins, wash me clean and come live in my heart. You need to be born again. And I start leading him to salvation. He gets born again. Now, this is in 2019. He's, you know, so many times we feel like we need to walk the whole journey with someone and then we don't respond to that tugging in our heart in that moment. Sometimes it takes 2 minutes. Jesus is the one discipling people. He's the one sending someone else. That's what I did. Then at that same time, people were inviting him to church in Stellenbosch and he started going to a church and he became a small group leader and we kept in contact. But Jesus did the rest. The Holy Spirit did the rest. He's now married to an amazing Christian woman. I had coffee with her 2 weeks ago. They come out with us on our stepping out and lead others to Christ. Their friends, their family has come to Jesus. This is the life we get to live if we respond to the Holy Spirit. This is a supernatural life. We don't have to reach people in our own abilities. It's fruitless. My sermon is a bit different than what I planned tonight. Now, this wasn't always a part of my life. For years, it would be my desire, because when I was 18 years old and I became born again, this was my desire. And I remember I would drive to work in the mornings on the N1, and practically every morning, this would be my prayer. I would say, like it says in Acts 1 verse 8, I would say, Holy Spirit, give me power and boldness to be a witness today at my workplace. Let me reach people for Jesus. Give me divine appointments. Every morning, I would get to work. My focus would shift to my task list, and I would do my job excellently, and I would drive home in the evenings feeling disappointed, heavy, like my life just looks like everyone else around me. And I didn't reach anyone for Jesus today. And with that desire in my heart for 12 years, I think I saw less than 10 salvations. I could count on my two hands. Now that's a little. If that's the burning desire in our heart, if we have the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, it should be more fruitful than that. But anyway, so in 2017, I had an encounter with the Holy Spirit that activated me and that changed my life. And that's launched me into just boldness and stepping out. And I don't know but what happened in that moment, but something happened. I'm not going to go into the encounter. But what I do want to tell you is that tonight you will have an encounter with the Holy Spirit. And He will transform you and activate you so that we can be witnesses to the people around us. Now, just before I go into the, really what I'm going to talk about is, my passion is, like I said, equipping us for witnessing, for doing it with the Spirit, for seeing lives transformed. And that's really what I'm going to do in the Grow group called Practical Evangelism. That's, you've got a bunch of Grow groups starting, I think, this week. And the Practical Evangelism Grow group will start this Thursday evening. And in that, I'm really going to equip just every person like you and me to be able to do this as a lifestyle, to be effective, not fruitless, but effective with every person that is in your circle that you have a desire. Maybe you've had a desire for people to be saved for 5 years, for 10 years, and you've invited them to stuff, and you've tried, and you've shared, and you've done everything you know how to do, but it's just fruitless. Now, I'm not saying I can just make people come to salvation, but the Holy Spirit has given us tools, and He's equipped us in His Word, and He's told us how to lead people to salvation, but we need to become effective in the tools He's given us so that people can encounter Christ through us, so that we can be effective witnesses. And that's what I'm going to do in the Grow group. So join us if you want to see, be a part of bringing souls into the kingdom of God. Now, what Ross actually asked me in his voice note to preach about tonight, so this is what he said. Tell them your journey. What does your life with the Holy Spirit look like? How do you live with the Spirit of God? How do you keep in step with the Spirit? How do you do that? And when I re-listened to his voice note on Friday morning as I was preparing, I just began to cry because the Holy Spirit has been doing such a thing in me where I've longed for years to experience certain stuff of the Spirit, and this is now my personal walk with the Spirit. It feels like He's been teaching me to navigate where I know how to access the Spirit, my Spirit communing with His Spirit. And that's what I want to share about more tonight, actually, is our personal communing, being satisfied, being filled by the Spirit. Now, the key scripture tonight is John 7, 37 to 39. If you can put that up. Jesus, He was standing up and He shouted to the crowds and He said, "All you thirsty ones, come to Me. Come to Me and drink. Believe in Me so that rivers of living water will burst out from within you, flowing from your innermost being." Then in verse 39 it says, Jesus here was prophesying about the Holy Spirit that believers were being prepared to receive. Now many of you, you're born again, you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. This is what we get to do. We get born of the Spirit. Our whole walk is Spirit. And it says, come to Me, drink. drink of my spirit. Let your spirit be filled with my spirit. Drink so that streams of living water will burst from your innermost being. We need to be bursting with the spirit of God everywhere we go so that people can encounter him. But if we don't know how to drink, we don't know how to have rivers flowing through us, and people will not get touched by the spirit of God himself. It will just be our words, but it will be dead. It won't be back with the power of Jesus Christ himself. And so I'm talking to us about drinking tonight, and I don't know how to share this because I haven't shared it before, but that's just one thing I wanted to say quickly, is this morning me and my husband and my daughter, we were watering some of the plants that my husband planted a while ago, and we're standing there, and I'm watching Lily, and Stefan is ordering me around to make the pipe not bend so the water can come through, and then the pipe's fine, but then the water's not coming through, and like, then I see, but the thing is, you know, when it's gotten unhooked there, whatever, and I have to hook it back to the source, to the tap, so that the water can flow, and that's kind of what I'm speaking about tonight, is that unless we hook to the source, the Spirit, we're not going to flow. We're not going to leak out to the people around us. Now, in the last 2 weeks, I have been in my time, my alone, focused time with Jesus. Something's been happening. I've been learning, I think, to drink. And I'm going to try and describe it. So I come, I put on a worship song, and I just become aware of my spirit and his spirit. And all of a sudden, it's like this movement happens, this communing happens, and it feels like I start getting filled up. And then I start becoming satisfied. I start becoming joyful. I experience life. I experience an energizing. I experience a satisfaction. And then sometimes it becomes so much that I just want to burst towards him, and I want to run, and I want to tell my husband about what's going on inside of me. Now, what the outward flow looks like for you, it will all be different. But that's what it looks like for me. But as long as your spirit is communing with his spirit, and it's drinking, and it's finding its satisfaction in him. For years, in 2012, the Lord, is this okay? Am I jumping around too much? In 2012, me and the Holy Spirit led me into an agreement where he said to me, spend 1 hour with me every day, like in quality focus time. And because he led me to do it, he empowered me to do it. And so for years, that's even now, that's what I do. I go and I spend time with Jesus for 1 hour every day. And it's amazing. And at times in my life, I've had these experiences and these encounters, and I'm sure all of you do. That's what, you know, we have these encounters that mark our lives with Jesus. But there would also be many times that I would come and I would go through my structure. I would praise, I would read Bible, and I would pray, maybe memorize a scripture, and I would leave. But I wouldn't meet with him in that time. I would leave the same way, wouldn't be satisfied by him. I wouldn't feel in love with him. My heart wouldn't feel soft towards him. I wouldn't feel transformed by him. I would still feel anxious about stuff in life. I wouldn't feel like I've received direction from him. And so if the discipline is not leading to meeting with a person, Christ Jesus himself through the Holy Spirit, it's useless. The discipline is there to meet with Jesus. Now, yesterday, I was having coffee with a friend, and she asked me, like, what do you do in your time with Jesus? And I thought, I need to actually share that tonight. And I said to her, rather than telling you the method of what I do, I want to share with you how I approach Jesus. Because it's changed. Something happened in the last few months. And I hope you can get this, because it transformed how I'm meeting with Jesus lately. So, you know the whole Cain and Abel issue where the one sacrifice was pleasing and the other one wasn't pleasing. And I've heard many interpretations of that story. I just found it unfair. It didn't make sense to me. And I read this book by A.W. Tozer, and finally it makes sense to me. Now, Cain brought the Lord a sacrifice, right? He brought him like vegetables and crop, and he thought, this is an amazing sacrifice. I'm giving it to the Lord. And it wasn't acceptable worship to the Lord. Why? Because we often come to the Lord in our times with him, in our meeting with him, and we bring him what we think is good and acceptable, and we perform and we do, you know, I do the same. This is how we think to do it, you know. We read our one-year Bible and we get through our stuff, but we come to him based on our works. And then when we perform well, we feel like we're doing well with the Lord, and when we feel like we messed up for a while, we feel guilty before the Lord. Now, Abel brought the Lord, and you can't enjoy the Spirit. The reason I'm talking about this is we can't have this communing, fellowshipping, enjoyment, satisfaction of the Spirit when you're entering the presence of God with guilt and shame every day or every few days. Anyway, Abel brought a sacrifice. He brought a blood sacrifice. Now, everything in the Old Testament is pointing to the New Testament, to Jesus, the blood sacrifice. And Abel brought the blood sacrifice because he knew that the only way I come face to face, the only way I worship the Lord, the only way that I come into his presence is blood, is because of the Lamb, is because of Jesus crucified that washed away my sin and made me righteous. And so I'm able to come face to face with God. It's the only reason. It's not based on my performance. That's acceptable worship. So daily now, when I come to the Lord, there used to be many, like, condemnation stuff going on. And maybe you are facing the same. You feel guilty about stuff. I didn't spend enough time with the Lord. Or I spent time with him, but maybe I read the wrong thing, or I prayed the wrong thing, or I didn't hear him properly, and all this stuff. It's not based on our performance. Where was I going with this? Oh, but when you come to the Lord and you know the only reason I'm here is because of the blood, you say, thank you for the blood. There's no condemnation. I'm free. Then it doesn't matter what structure you have when you're reading your Bible, when you're communing with the Spirit based on the blood of Jesus, and you're enjoying him and you're being led by him. And we need to go back to the place of being led by the Spirit in our times with the Lord, so that he can lead us and satisfy us and fill us and overflow in us. Instead of us just coming and ticking a box and leaving the same. So, lately, now I'm a CA, I'm a chartered accountant, so I like my boxes and I like ticking them. But it's wonderful being out of control with the Holy Spirit. I love it. I've come to love it. It's life itself. And we need to be out of control in our flesh and in the natural, so we can be in step and in sync with the leading of the Holy Spirit. So now, instead of me coming to him and doing all the things I want to do, I pray in the mornings when I drop Lily at school. I pray because I don't feel in my natural like going home and now every morning spending my time with Jesus. But that's the moment I start focusing on him while I'm driving Lily to school. And I'm like, Jesus, help me to depend on you today. Move my heart towards you. Make my heart soft towards you. Help me. Help me. We're so dependent on him. Without him putting that desire in our heart for him, without him making the scriptures become life to me, without him leading me, it's dead. So, my real desire is for you to know that this life that we start off in the Spirit, Don't go over into the natural, into works. It doesn't satisfy and won't lead anyone else to Christ. You won't be excited to tell people about Jesus if you're not satisfied by Him yourself. Stay with the Spirit. When you come to Him in your time with Him, say, lead me. And then whatever you feel He's saying, follow it. Move with it. Sometimes I'm worshiping and I'm praying and it's amazing. And then I'm like, hey, I haven't read Bible much in the last few days. I should probably read some Bible. And then I read and I just can't connect. And I'm like, oh. And then He says to me, hey, why do you want to read Bible now? As a, like a discipline, you were meeting with me there. You were actually praying scriptures that you know by heart, like, and it was bringing life. Like, don't do these things for the sake of ticking with them. Commune with me. Commune with His Spirit. He's speaking all the time. Become aware of His Spirit. Let your spirit become aware of His Spirit. We are spirit beings. This whole life is a spirit life. Now, He wants to flow through you. He wants to touch people around you. He wants to save people through you. He wants to heal people through you. He wants to set people free through you. But He can only do this through you if you know how to follow His Spirit. It says in Romans 8:14, you can put that scripture up. In the Passion Translation, it says it like this, that the mature children of God. So this tells us, how do you measure maturity as a son or a daughter of God? How do we measure our maturity? It says, the mature children of God are those who are moved by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. It's those who are aware of the Holy Spirit, of what He's doing, of what He's saying. You recognize it in your spirit, in your day-to-day life. Not on some mission trip, not when you're all focused. In your day-to-day walking, you are aware of His Spirit because your spirit is alive to Him and you recognize His voice. You recognize His tugging. When you're walking in the mall, you recognize that tugging because you respond. And then what does it say? You respond. You obey. So when I was walking in the mall, now, this is a very specific situation, but this is day-to-day life. Wherever you are in your life, with whoever you're with, the Holy Spirit wants to speak and tug. So when I was in that mall, I recognized that tugging, right? And then what did I do? I responded. Now, I look very passionate and energetic right now, but I'm just like you. I have days when I don't feel like approaching people, where I don't feel confident, where I feel socially awkward, or where I've just argued with my husband, or I haven't spent time with Jesus. Like, I don't feel pretty full of Him. I don't feel joyful. But that doesn't determine my responding and obeying the Spirit. I obey. Because I'm a mature child of God. Now, this is an exciting part. Sorry if it's serious. But so often when we pray for people, I feel like we actually pray for them in the natural, whether it's at church or whoever it's with. We pray with our human wisdom and understanding. We ask, what can I pray for? And we pray, right? Now, there's another way to pray. There's a way where we actually bring the presence of God, the demonstration of the Spirit. You know where it says that I didn't just bring the gospel to you with wise words of human wisdom and understanding, but I brought a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, and that's what the world is looking for. You telling me about this Jesus that can set me free from stuff? Show me. You telling me about this Jesus that knows me? Prove it. The world is looking for a demonstration. How do we demonstrate Him to people? There's a different way of praying and speaking to people, bringing the presence of God. How? So my husband, we moved to East London just after we got married 6 years ago. I just want to share the story that where something shifted in us. And The Shofar Church there is pastored by Andre Kruger, amazing. And Andre would ask Stefan in the altar call time in church, in ministry time, he'd say, Stefan, tag along with me. And Andre would pray for people and stuff would happen. Like people would burst into tears, people would shake, people would fall under the Spirit. People would, you could just see stuff is happening. People's bodies would get healed. I don't know, but stuff was happening. And my husband asked Andre, hey, Andre, like, when I pray for people, I'm nervous. And I kind of pray for them. And then I hope something happened and say bye. But when you pray for people, stuff happens. Like, how does it work? And Andre said, no, it's very simple. I just pray from the presence of God. Stefan was like, huh? And so Andre said, no, I just focus on Jesus. And then whatever he wants to do, whatever I see him busy with, whatever I feel, whatever, I just pray it. So another testimony that that portrays this is in that time in East London, I was working at a new job there, and at that stage, I was praying for everyone who's sick, and I was laying my hands on them, and I was seeing people healed and people get touched by Jesus. It was amazing, because when the Spirit of God is moving, there's fruit. But anyway, there was this one lady, Joanna from Australia, and I had shared Jesus with her, and somewhere in the beginning, she told me about how she has migraines or something, and I told her, hey, can I pray for you? She's feeling anxious, migraine, something like that. So I'm like, let me pray for you. Let's go to the bathroom. And I pray, and I'm just like, I focus on Jesus. So I'm just like, Jesus, thank you that you love her. Doesn't really matter what you pray. You just incline your spirit to the Lord. And I said, Jesus, thank you that you love her. Thank you, Jesus. I just thank you for your peace. Now I start experiencing peace. Like, you know when you experience his peace? So I'm experiencing, so it's flowing through me to her. So I'm like, thank you for your peace. That's touching her right now. Fill her, anxiety leave. Thank you that you heal this migraine right now. Jesus' name, thank you. Whatever I feel. I just, doesn't matter if my words sound amazing. It's not about that. I'm just a vessel for him to flow through, and he's working and he's touching and he's doing something on the inside of her. She would be in tears. She would start laughing. She would hug me. She would say, thank you, Nastasha. And I would be like, amazing, Jesus loves you. She would leave. 2 weeks later, she would come back to me. She'd be like, can you pray for me again? I got stomach pain. I'm like, I'm anxious about this and this and this. And we go to the bathroom, same thing. She cries. She laughs. She hugs me. And she became addicted to the presence of God. She became addicted to that peace, that demonstration of who he is. And later on, I shared my testimony with her. I shared the gospel with her, and I asked her if she wants to get born again, asked Jesus to forgive her sin and come live inside her heart. And she said, I do, but I don't feel like I'm ready right now. But when I am, you'll be the first person I'll tell. A few months later, I'm not working there anymore. She messages me and she says, can we go for coffee? And I knew. So we went for coffee and she got born again, and it's incredible. Like, that, but you get like praying from the presence of God, not in our human wisdom, but focusing on him and being dependent on him working and him speaking and him healing and touching. So tonight, we get to say yes to living a life in the Spirit that God has called us to live. That we, you know, it says in John 3, where Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, and he said, the natural gives birth to natural things. Like when we try to do the things, even the God things in the natural, it only gives birth to the natural. But when the Spirit gives birth to the supernatural, to the Spirit things. He said, we can't see the wind, right? Just like we can't see the Spirit. But we can hear the wind, and we can feel the wind, and we can learn to start hearing the Spirit, and feeling the Spirit. I pray all the time. I'm not an expert at this. It's something I'm learning. I've learned it in certain areas, and I haven't in other areas, and I'm learning. But I pray all the time, teach me, Teach me, Lord. Teach me how to be in sync with your spirit, to hear your spirit. Teach me more about you, Jesus. Teach me. You can stand and you can put that that song on, please. So tonight, like it says in John 7, where Jesus was saying, all you thirsty ones, he's talking about our spirits, all you thirsty ones in your spirit for me, for the spirit, for the life that's found in me, for the satisfaction that's found in me. All you thirsty ones, come and drink, and streams of living water will flow and then will start to burst from your innermost being. So if you can play that song in the background, thank you. So if you are here tonight and you say, I've had encounters with the Spirit. I felt the tug of the Spirit in my life. I've responded to it. But I want to learn to commune with the Spirit daily. I want to learn to recognize the Spirit daily. I want to learn to obey the Spirit daily. Then I want you to come to the front right now. Come here. Come to the side. Help me to move this out the way, please. Thank you. Just start focusing on Jesus. I can't give you anything, but he wants to fill you right now. He wants to touch you right now. He wants to activate your spirit right now. He wants to make you alert and aware of his spirit right now. Focus on Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're gonna pray together now. Just say, Holy Spirit, I am hungry for you. I'm thirsty for you. Fill me right now. Fill me right now. Touch me. Holy Spirit, come. Yes, thank you, Holy Spirit. For those of you who you're born again, but you don't know if you are baptized in the Spirit of God. And the Bible says that when we are baptized in the Spirit of God, that it will be evidenced. You'll receive a boldness and a power. You'll receive an enablement to be a witness. It says that you receive your heavenly language. It will be evidenced by praying in tongues. And you'll start speaking spiritual realities by the power of the Spirit. And if you don't have that stuff happening, but you want that, you want to be filled and baptized by the Spirit tonight, I want you to come right here to the front over here. I want to pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. Everyone else, keep focusing on the Holy Spirit. He wants to come and touch tonight. Oh, bro, shikira da da, bro, shikira. Shabara da kara, shikira da da, bro, shikira da da. You can turn up the volume, please.